Good afternoon, Chairman. But I just have one specific question. Can you arrange for Bernie Yates to provide all the candidates with a printed copy of those proxies that you just flashed up on the screen relatively quickly? And could you also arrange for that to include a breakdown of the undirected proxies that you held as the chairman that were related to each specific resolution? So I know it might take a few minutes, but if you could give Bernie the all clear to provide all the candidates with all the information that you had, not a slightly summarised and flashed up version.
Well, we are very happy to provide what you saw up there. If you're saying you want to see individual proxy forms,
no, I want to see I want to see a breakdown of the undirected proxies that you hold as the chairman. So in other words, all those shareholders who just signed the form and sent it back and might have left a particular resolution blank, they all defaulted to you as undirected proxies. In some of our cases, they might have ended up being a large percentage of the vote. And on what you disclosed there, you didn't... On each resolution, you obviously have those figures, and I'm asking that you provide them to us on a timely basis so we can discuss it.
It will be made available.
Okay, thank you. My specific question is the board's decision to invoke the clause in the Constitution to declare that there were only four positions on the board. Now, our Constitution states that we can have a minimum of three and a maximum of 10 directors, and you have what some people call the no vacancy rort clause, which allows you to choose any number you like after you've seen who's nominated. Now, today we actually have a pretty high calibre field of candidates, and many shareholders would have actually liked the option of adding to you four. We would have liked to have said, let's put Gamble on, we'll keep Stokes off because Bernie is right, he'd be over 20%, and let's put Mr. Avery on, and let's put Margaret Sears on, because they've got great CVs, they've got relevant media experience, certainly in the case of Mr. Avery, and they've been recommended by Korn Ferry. Now, you have taken that option away from all of us by invoking the no vacancy rort, and I just want to ask you specifically, why did you do that? Because what you've actually done here is you've placed us in a position where even if Kerry Stokes had received 100% of the votes in favour, he wouldn't have been elected because you got more than 50%. So our largest shareholder would have petitioned to get on the board, and you've structured it using a little clause in the Constitution such that 100% would have failed. Now, board size is a question for shareholders. You should have given us the choice to decide if we wanted to go as high as 10. And I'm specifically asking you invoke this, what is frankly a rort, to deny our shareholders the chance of actually expanding the board with the talent that was on offer today.
I'm actually speaking for the six resolutions, as Mr. Mansell pointed out earlier, to expedite the meeting and to try and make it a bit more efficient. We condemned it, so I would speak for the first six resolutions. I appreciate the opportunity to address you, and it's great to see so many people at a shareholders' meeting. I must say, with seven our last shareholders' meeting, we had eight. And somebody mentioned the returns before. That didn't take into account a whole bunch of stuff, including some really special franked dividends of seven shareholders. If you go through the entire return that they've had in the last 5 years, they had a pretty good job. And as of today, they own half the Seven Network, they have $2.6 billion in cash, they have 20% of the whole West Australian newspapers, and we have about 700 million invested in several major stocks in Australia. So and no debt, we don't believe in debt. So from a seven shareholders' point of view, I can promise you it hasn't been all bad. Those of you who are West Australians, and there's a few here, you know me. Most of you know I'm very passionate Western Australia. You know I've always tried to do the best that I could by the state in many ways. I foreshadowed to Mr. Mansell when we were buying shares that when we reached a certain level, we would expect to have board representation. He didn't reject the proposition. Now, I'm not saying he said yes, but he certainly didn't lead me to believe he would reject the proposition. Mr. Gamble spoke to him again in September at my request while I was with him, after I visited the plant on the 9th of September and expressed our concerns, and we suggested that both Mr. Gamble and I should stand for directors at the coming AGM. Mr. Mansell didn't think that was such a good idea because, in fact, Mr. Mayne was standing and he was standing, and we believed, he said, it was, we would sort it out afterwards. And I'm not saying Mr. Mansell said we'd be directors, but we took away that we would have a very good discussion on it. And in fact, at the last AGM, I believe Mr. Mayne asked him about why we weren't directors, and was told we were actually in strong negotiations, or were in negotiations, which in fact we thought we were. And that was the last time we had any serious conversation in regard to directorships. During the course of the last 3 weeks, I visited every institution that owned shares this company. They all agreed on one thing. We were entitled to board representation given the shareholder that we had. Being a 20% shareholder of the company, every single institution agreed with us we were entitled to board representation. Mr. Mansell now says he has irreconcilable conflicts with us on this board. Let me explain a couple of things. The ACCC has no such conflicts. The Australian Communications and Media Authority have no such conflicts. The major advertisers of Australia not only have no such conflicts, but would welcome the association. And local advertisers, who are all on our website, all indeed support it. And there is no conflicts in our newsrooms because we don't talk to one another. So I don't, and I certainly haven't been to our newsroom here. I get it twice a year, normally the telephone. So, as somebody rightfully pointed out, at a broad level, we're above those areas. We're in strategy for the future of the company, and there is no conflict between us and Seven. If these directors are scared about that, anyone is welcome to join my board. Come and look for yourself. We have the conflicts. We're about trying to make something better. We bring a vast amount of media experience to the party. Most of you, or some of you, a lot of them, some of you will remember programs that were more akin to your liking back in 1968 and 69 when we owned South West Telecast as our first television station. And our experience goes back to that level. Our knowledge of the state, our knowledge of advertising, our knowledge of advertisers, and our knowledge of what works in the internet space is coming. We believe we brought a strength, and we bring strength to West Australian newspapers board. The fact that the West has problems is now without question. When we raised this, we were accused of raising a smokescreen. How dare we raise these questions? How dare we concern ourselves that these were real problems? But the circulation problem goes back nearly 3 years, 3.5 years. When we first bought shares, I had letters written to me by 20 news agencies, all of which I was very concerned with, and gave to Mr. Steinke to reply for me. A year later, when we certainly bought more shares, the same news agents came to see me and say not only was it resolved, they felt that they'd been worse off by writing me. That's not a smokescreen, that's a real problem. The fact that the circulation has declined over that period is no coincidence. Circulation not only has declined and is declining, statement within the last report is not accurate and will not stand up to scrutiny on the comparisons of the board of place. And very easy, just go and ask an opposition. I did. I expect on the 15th of November, when the next audit is released, the Sunday Times will be equal or have passed the West Australian Saturday edition. And I think that's an indictment of a disaster. It's not that I support the Sunday Times. I'm just saying, what are they doing that more West Australians want to buy it in the West Australia. And part of the answer is distribution. You don't pay your news agents to distribute your product, obviously less people are going to get it. You don't create incentives outside of the metropolitan area, obviously less people are going to read it. And the fact that less than 15% of the West Australian is distributed outside the Perth metropolitan area is again an indictment. I run a business called Westrac, some of you know it. We deal with about $400 or $500 million worth of spare parts a year. And if there's a problem on mine site in Western Australia on major pieces of equipment, we get spare parts to it overnight for everything. Now, if we can deliver those, I'm damn sure you can deliver newspapers to Broome, Connemara, Karratha, and other spots. And while I'm on Broome, let me explain the position on Broome. 10 years ago, Broome had a population of 1,500 people. A major news agent sold 600 copies of the West a day. 10 years ago, 1,500 people, 600 copies a day. Today, Broome has 15,000 people. They sell 300 copies a day. Think something can't be done for circulation? The infrastructure, and understanding infrastructure in this state, is really difficult. It's a hard place to get around, but it's not impossible. We should be able to ensure that this is the West Australia, not the Perth Daily. And we think the relationship between the agents can be solved very, very quickly. In fact, probably in a week. And the fact that it's gone on to our knowledge for 2.5 years, and that they're in court, is unforgivable. We believe the fundamentals also run deeper than that. We believe that none of the existing directors have ever themselves owned or run a business. Now, this doesn't make them bad people. I say before I start that they're all fine citizens. I'm not attacking any of these people for their citizenry or for their outstandingness. I'm saying that they've never run a business, they've never had their fingernails dirty, and they've never been in a position where they've had to deliver something. And that experience counts for something. And that experience in media, whether you've had to work in a copy room, whether you've had to put a station to wear, whether you've had a TV ops certificate, or whether you've had to put a paper out and the staff have gone on strike. All of those experiences come together, and that's why you know the biggest advertising agencies in Australia. That's why I can advance by our executives, talk to people to help them get those extra bonus income when it's needed. We think there are chinks in the West, and we think there are meaningful problems going forward because they've achieved their success today by cost cutting. And you can't grow a company by cost cutting. At the end of the day, you grow a company by growing a business. And we think that West has a hell of a lot of business to grow, and I use the statement of a comparison with the Brisbane Courier Mail. The comparison I use is anybody who cares to look at the turnover and the size and the profit of the Brisbane Courier Mail, and that state is not doing anywhere near as well as Western Australia, and there is more competition within that state from other newspapers, then you say that, in our opinion, the West side's for its future is still far too low. Peter Gallen and I thought we brought that experience to the board. I must say, we've never had any trouble working on a board before. I've never met these people in a professional life. I've never found a board I've worked on where we've had a problem with the director. We didn't seem to have any problems when we were buying shares and talking to Mr. Mansell up until that day. It wasn't until we rang in Europe Rugby Cup it seemed to get that we became first people who were non-persona. We also went to the problem of going through a process to find two independent directors who will come up later. We asked the directors to stand. All of these people who are shareholders of this company put their names, their time, their reputations on the line to stand as directors. And we think, at the very least, that should be applauded. We think that's a very democratic process, and we think that there are some, maybe we actually employ an expert, Corn Ferry, to help us decide who would make the two best independent directors. And regardless of some of the things that were printed, I actually didn't meet Margaret Sears for the first time the last Sunday at the 2020 forum. I met the other candidate the week before. So about five people, it was a good process, and we committed to the institutions that were successful in these motions. We would actually use Corn Ferry, and we'd actually go to the institutions and pass by them the name is selected, and those extra directors who would have been elected would not have been elected with our votes. We would not have used our votes, so it could truly be independent directors. That would have been 2 out of 7. Let me go to this control point, because I'm really, really confused. I don't understand how you can control a company with 2 out of 7. I don't understand Mr. Mansell's concept of 1 out of 15 to control a board. I made a mistake of my thinking. Controlling people is a real problem. I know I'm big and fearful, and everyone should be scared of me, but the thought that I could physically, by myself, control 5 other people against their will is a little bit hard to believe. I couldn't do it when I was on a rugby field. I doubt if I can do it ever in a boardroom. So I don't know where control comes from, but if you've got $500 million invested, we all have one ambition, and that's to make a company a better company. I don't want control. I made the statement, we will not make a bid to take out the West. And the worries that we won't, we think the West is a unique West Australian company. We want to see it remain independent. We just want to be able to have a say to help it improve its position. Well, we may not want control, but that resolved in the fact that if our motions are approved, I will take an active interest. I love this industry, and I wouldn't be here when we wouldn't have got where we did unless I did. But that's a far different from being in control. But if we were involved, I can promise you, we would fix the circulation, and I'd fix it within 6 months. We would come to agreement with the agents within 2 weeks. And we have the ability to bring the company technological knowledge that can take advantage of the opportunities before their opposition, our opposition, comes to this state to establish themselves. At the end of the day, thousands of shareholders and millions of votes have shared our opinion. Doesn't mean that we're right, it doesn't mean that we win. But there are so many who have, we can't be all wrong. And now is the time to refresh the West. I put the 6 motions.
Thank you. Mr. Acting Chair, I'd like to speak in favour of this resolution, that Mr. Mansell be removed from the board, on the following grounds. Mr. Mansell has allowed this situation to develop as the chairman of this company. It's the first time in Australian corporate history we've had a major proxy fight for control of a major public company. And how did it come to this? Well, Mr. Stokes is a very aggressive man. Have a look at C7, 7 versus the world. That's partly the explanation, but I also think Mr. Mansell hasn't handled the process correctly. He has done a big about face. It is correct that 7 does deserve board representation. And I think the other issue why we should oppose Mr. Mansell is that the whole suicide pact that has been developed, led by Mr. Mansell, articulated by Mr. Mansell, we've heard from none of the others about the suicide pact apart from the written words. And I think it looks like it's come and led by Mr. Mansell, and it is an affront to shareholders' interests. Many of us would have voted to remove you, Mr. Mansell, and to retain some continuity on the board with other directors, particularly the one director who didn't vote for the Hoyts deal. But you, in your board discussions, have pulled together this suicide pact, which reflects poorly. You've done the no vacancy rort, which has refused us rights to expand the board from some of the capable candidates you've nominated. That also rests with you. But I think the single biggest argument as to why you should be removed is that you are the busiest man in corporate Australia. I don't know how it is possible to be the chairman of 5 different companies and to sit on 3 other boards. And at the moment, you are trying to pull together a $10 billion merger as the chairman of Zinifex and do all these other things, and it is simply impossible for you to be a full, appropriately working chairman of WA News. And I think the neglect that has gone into the distribution issues, the complete failure of the board to act against an editor who, frankly, is completely out of control, continually getting done over by Media Watch, by the Press Council, at war with our biggest advertiser, the government, and the board has sat there and done absolutely nothing. And I think that reflects poorly on the chairman. The chairman will survive today. There will then be a subsequent compromise where perhaps someone apart from Mr. Stokes and Mr. Gammell will be on the board representing the seven interests. Maybe Mr. Smith here, former communications minister, knows all about media policy now, working for Kerry Stokes. He'd be the perfect example of someone who seven should put on the board who's not as arguably close to the seven interests and has some of the small conflicts that Mr. Stokes does have. So I think we should all vote to remove Mr. Mansell. I'd like Mr. Mansell to address the meeting as to how he possibly juggles his time to deal with the issues of WA News. And I also want to hear from him as to whether he is committed to serve a full three-year term as the chairman of this company, as we voted on last year, or whether he is open to a compromise, which a lot of people, including some of the proxy advisers, are recommending to the big institutional shareholders. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman, I presume you should make it clear to the meeting, this is the shareholders' opportunity to quiz Mr. Stokes, isn't it? This is the one opportunity of the whole day. Is that correct?
Well, ask me the questions and to the extent that I...
No, but this is the resolution. Yes. If anyone has questions for Mr. Stokes, it's now. Would it be appropriate for Mr. Stokes...
Yes, question to him.
Yeah, okay. I haven't heard Mr. Stokes comment about the chairmanship of this company, if he is successful. There are a number of people on this control premium issue who believe that he shouldn't be the chairman and that an independent party should be the chairman. The two other candidates that Korn Ferry have endorsed, Margaret Sears and Peter Avery, both have the position that there should be an independent chairman of WAN going forward. So I'd like Mr. Stokes to place on the record today his position as to whether he unequivocally supports the notion that if he is successful today, that he believes a non-seven independent director should chair the company going forward, and whether that would be his continuing position if he fails today but comes back at a future point in time. Thank you.
Well, can I just say, whether Mr. Stokes wishes to address it or not, I'll leave it to him, that the chair of the board is a national board of directors, and I think it's premature for us to determine who is the right person to be chairman of the board until we know who the board is. Mr. Stokes, anything you'd like to add to that?
Thanks, Chairman. I've run twice before for the board of WAN in 2000 and 2007. My previous average is 21%, and today I'm tracking at 5.3%. So come on, Kerry, surely have a bit of sympathy. Get us out of single digits. You can still revoke those proxies, all of us down here who are in single digits. Now, I've got a very serious message today, and that is that, and I've run on this platform before, this board needs some people with media experience. And I think it also needs one director with editorial experience, i.e. someone who's worked in newspapers and understands the editorial process. And whilst I've done 10 years in newspapers, I've been a chief of staff of the Daily Telegraph, a business editor of the Herald Sun, I've worked for the Financial Review, for The Age, I'm actually not recommending that I'm that person today. The person with editorial experience who actually should be on this board, who will be perfect for this board, is Mr. Steve Harris, who unfortunately is in Europe at the moment and wasn't able to come back in time to speak for himself. But I actually persuaded Steve to run for the board. He'd just been removed as the chief executive of Melbourne Football Club. I don't think you should hold him responsible for the fact they haven't had a win yet. And I said, you would be perfect for this board. And I worked with Steve when he was the editor-in-chief of the Herald Sun, and he rescued that newspaper after a chaotic period in which an editor was out of control. That editor was Piers Ackerman. And Steve Harris is the only person in Australia who has actually managed a tabloid and rescued its reputation after a period of excess. And that actually makes him the perfect candidate for this board, because we've just had a period on this newspaper of editorial excess, of an editor who, in my opinion, has gone beyond the bounds of what is reasonable and responsible in the way that he's conducted the editorial policies. Now, I am a passionate believer in an adverse and a sometimes hostile relationship between the press and its community. I used to work for Jeff Kennett, and then I ended up running the anti-Kennett website, jeff.com, prosecuting a case that he was unfit to be in office. So I believe that West Australians should not walk away from being absolutely aggressive against the Labor government. But I do think that the way this paper has been captured by the forces of Burke and Grill, and the way that it has been too closely associated with them, and the way it's gone over the top in basically prosecuting a massive campaign against the Attorney General, has been frankly excessive and damaging to the paper. And I think that you need someone like Steve Harris who can manage the delicate relationships of being adversarial but also accepting the fact that government is a huge source of stories, that government is a huge source of advertising, and it's a tricky relationship that needs to be managed. The other thing that I would bring to the board is that I actually set up Crikey.com, which is Australia's best known e-zine. And over the 5 years I built that before selling it for $1 million, I was absolutely staggered watching the West online. I mean, this was a Luddite approach to the internet. This company has had its head in the sand on the internet for a long time. And I actually believe they do need someone on the board who actually understands the internet. And I've actually done that over a period with Crikey. I think that there's basically going to be a compromise coming here. There's been a strong message sent to the board. The institutions do accept that Seven should have representation. I think there's probably an argument that Stokes and his best friend, Peter Gammell, are perhaps not the best representatives of Seven's interest, that maybe it should be a Seven non-executive director, or maybe it should be Warwick Smith. And I'll give you a good example of why. I actually think Mr. Stokes does have a conflict of interest. And it goes to issues like this. As a guy who makes a fortune providing those huge Caterpillar trucks to all the mines in WA and has massive relationships with Twiggy Forrest and BHP, on a vital issue such as uranium mining, if he was on this board, I can tell you as someone who's worked as a journalist, you often take positions that you think your directors or your proprietors would want you to say. And I think on the vital issue of should this state open up to uranium mining, which the West Australian newspaper would have a big say on, Mr. Stokes would have a conflict of interest, and the temptation would be for his journalists to talk up their proposition, knowing that that's exactly what he'd want, because there'd be many dozens more of those big yellow machines out there mining the uranium. So I think Seven should come back with perhaps one candidate, and perhaps not Mr. Stokes personally. I think Mr. Mansell should go, as I explained earlier. And I think we do have two terrific candidates in Margaret Sears and Peter Avery. And I'd invite you to listen to them. They're about to speak. There's going to be a negotiated process to expand the board. I think personally, Mr. Harris is the perfect person, and I'm strongly advocating that the board talks to him afterwards and treats him as a serious contender, and that you also listen to Mrs. Sears and Ms. Avery and ask them some questions about what they bring, because they look terrific on paper, but you rarely get a situation where shareholders can directly hear from directors. So thank you for the time today, and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
That's a very defamatory statement. First of all, I've never instructed nor been involved in any of our journals, and I employ nearly 300 of them. There's never been a story on Seven Network or any company I'm associated with that supports anything to do with West Australia. I'm not for mining, I'm not against mining. I've never supported in our editorials, nor asked anybody to support any position in that regard. You're insinuation that I would for my personal gain is offensive. Nothing you'd ever seen me do could lead you to that conclusion. And secondly, whether Mr. Harris is a suitable applicant or not, he can come and speak for himself. I don't think there should be an opportunity for third-party endorsements. Otherwise, I might get out a whole list of people. Thank you.
If I could just briefly respond to that, Chairman. I'm saying that it is the, as someone who's worked as a journalist, who's done the bidding for Rupert Murdoch when I think it's what he wanted when I was the business editor of the Telegraph and the Herald Sun, the journalists will self-censor. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying Mr. Stokes is going to ring up and say... Okay. And the other point I'd make to Mr. Stokes' comment is that there was a period when he, as the proprietor of Channel 7, when Today Tonight had a very, very negative story on Jeff Kennett's share dealings, which I, as an insider, had provided to Today Tonight to put to air, where management intervened right at the last minute to pull the story because Kennett was ringing up threatening to sue. And Four Corners did a whole story on it. So I think Mr. Stokes' claim that he's never, ever been involved in any editorial decision isn't actually a correct reflection of what happened with Today Tonight.
That's totally wrong. First of all, the story was pulled by the lawyer involved in Sydney. I was actually in Canberra that evening at a function accepting for the National Gallery of Australia a gift from China to the gallery. I found out...
Microphone number one.
The story was taken off air by the lawyer at the time for a very simple reason. That court in Melbourne did not put the allegations they were making to Kent, and they were going to put it to air without having made the allegations to him. When I arrived in Melbourne the next morning, I went through it, I had them put the allegations to Kent,
and it was the hot.
And
it was the highest rating story Today Tonight's ever put to air, and then you sacked all the journalists involved.
Because they never rated again the rest of their lives.
Well, I think it says a message that you sacked them all about yielding to political influence. Kennett, one of them sacked, they were sacked.